Welcome to church this morning. Before we begin, we have a few announcements. And if you notice, we have a new pianist this morning. This is Judy. And this is Janice's sister that's playing for us this morning. Play wonderfully. I always appreciate someone that plays wonderfully because I get so nervous. Before we begin, we have a few announcements to make. Some of them are in the back of your chimes, the minister's hours. We have a board meeting this week, circles. Also, there's a work day on Tuesday from 9 to 12. There's videos of the Last Supper available if you wanted those. And looking ahead, Vacation Bible School is doing the Olympics. Lots of getting decorations ready, so if you can help, there's a date when they are meeting to decorate every Wednesday from 4 to 6. Also, if you notice the pink sheet, Mother's Day breakfast is next week. Yay, us! Okay, so it's especially good because the 8th is Mother's Day and the 9th is my birthday. So, woo, double dip here. But mothers, you're all invited to be our guests for breakfast next Sunday morning, May 9th. Bring your families and enjoy being served by the men of the congregation, which we enjoy greatly. Men, please note, if you were able to help, call my husband. His cell phone number is right there. And he has an announcement because I think the menu is going to change. Couple. Welcome to the Lord's Day. Oh, wait, before I say that, any other announcements?
Sure. Yes, we're having our last MOPS meeting this Tuesday at 5:30.
Okay. Study? So you see those sales, everybody. Pick something up. Okay, are there any other announcements? Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship him. Community comes together to serve God in worship. Our processional hymn is in this chalice hymnal, number 277, not 227. Christians, we have met to worship. Let us stand.
Thank you.
to worship this morning is in the chimes. Having enjoyed a night's rest,
we welcome a new day.
Having felt a need for cleansing and restoration,
we open our lives to a new experience of your grace.
Having been scattered as Christians in the world of work and commerce,
we welcome the opportunity to gather with the body of Christ.
Rejoicing in the new life we enjoy as Christians,
we come together to worship and praise your name as we pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Comes together to share tithes and offerings. As we present our offerings this morning, let us give cheerfully and gratefully, for our attitude is as important as the gift itself. Our offertory hymn is in the Chalice Hymnal, number 93, verses 1 and 3, Praise Him, Praise Him.
As we present our offerings this morning, let us give cheerfully and gratefully, for our attitude is as important as the gift itself. Amen.
proclaims the Word of God. Our scripture reading this morning is in Psalms chapter 67. That's the Old Testament, page 529 in your pew Bibles. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the people with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him.
Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville this first Sunday of May. As we gather to worship our Lord, it is dreary outside. It is why it is right and proper that we have come inside to have our spirits lifted by all that God is doing for us today. This morning we had our spirits lifted by the music that Judy has shared with us, and we give thanks for her presence, timely presence, as it's always good to start church on a Sunday without someone breaking their leg in the parking lot. I was able to see Wanda this week. She had surgery the next day. She had both of her bones broken in her right leg. But the surgery was very successful. And she's home and resting, and she's very grateful not only for the love and support that you all have shown, but also especially for all the people who came to help her that day. I mean, if you're going to break your leg, do it in a church. If you're going to have a tragedy or a problem, do it in the church, because you'll be surrounded by people who love and care. In the coming weeks, we will have Heidi lending her talents on the piano, and then after next week, Ellen Herman will be filling in for the time being until Wanda is back and ready to not get in the saddle, but get on the bench again and play. So we'll have plenty of people to help out in showbiz. The show must go on, and in church, the service must go on, and indeed it does. Also this morning, we've had our spirits lifted by having every member, all six members of our membership class today. We will baptize them in 2 weeks' time. And look forward to that. Be sure, of course, to mark your calendars, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and tell all the members of the church to come to celebrate and to support the six new members of the body of Christ as they make their confession of faith and enter into the waters of baptism. We also have our spirits lifted this morning by having our newest member, our newest bundle of joy with us, as Armando and Maria and Juliet are here with our new baby girl. And if you haven't had a chance to see her smiling face after church, be sure to do so. Not during the sermon, but after church, be sure to see her beautiful face. What else have we had our spirits lifted by? What else has happened in our life that we want to give thanks, and what joys do we want to share? Teresa? That's great news. Your nephew is having what? We rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. We celebrate Patty's surgery going so well that she was able to return to work. And we pray for Teresa's nephew suffering a brain bleed, and pray that the doctors will be able to help him. Brody. Oh, no. That would take him to school? Okay. We'll pray for her family then, and pray that she's with God. Thank you for sharing that, Brody. Hey, Linda? Rejoice with your vacation and all those who enjoyed time away. We pray for Dawn's sister as she battles her brain tumor. Okay. Stephen Dicabellis, who's going to have colon surgery. We'll pray for him. Don? Thanks for all the support you've received in this difficult time, and pray that your bad luck is at an end. Sonny?
Well, I think just praise the Lord.
thanks that your mother is doing better, and for all the gifts that the children share, and particularly the gift of music. Seeing none other? Oh, sure. Family in our prayers, and also on the passing of Dale Carnahan. Dow Carnahan, thank you. Seeing none, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Timeless and eternal God, in our searching and groping to find you, we confess that sometimes we have settled for idols made of gold and silver and silicone. We have put our faith in our money, placed our hope in institutions of brick and mortar, trusted in weapons of war, sought after comfort and ease, rejected calls for personal and national sacrifice, and belittled the calls challenging us to aim higher. Forgive us, Lord, for our shortcomings and failings, for our half-truths and half-efforts. Help us to give an accounting of the hope that is in us, nurtured by our life in Christ, found in your commandment of love and the promise and gift of peace, the hope that comes from being your children and your church, abiding in your Spirit. Spirit of truth, as we grope for you in the dark, come to us. Illumine our path, light our way, surround us with your love, and strengthen us with your grace, that our hearts and minds may be open to listen for your word and to live for your love. For it is your love that sustains us, your love that nourishes us, your love that calls us forth. In the difficult times, we turn to it. When we are in hospital or we are sick, when we are lost and confused, we know that you love us with a love greater than any we may know in this world. And so we turn to it in joy, we turn to it in need, and we turn to it when we pray for others, they may also turn to rest a while in your presence, be renewed through your love. We give you thanks that Patty's surgery has gone so well, that she has returned to work and is doing so much better. We celebrate with her and her family. We continue to give thanks for Don as the recovery of his house, as well as the recovery of his life. It goes on apace. We know that it is slow. We know that it is incremental at times. And yet before you know it, it is back. We give you thanks for his faith that has sustained him in this difficult time, and the love of family and friends in his church, which has kept him moored even as his home has been damaged. We rejoice that Sonny's mother has returned from the hospital, and we pray that she will continue to do well, and that the treatment she received will help keep her heart in pace. We celebrate the gift of children and the gifts that they bring and share, gifts of music, the gifts of education, the gifts of joy that not only they experience, but we experience whenever we gather with them. And as we rejoice, Lord, in your love, we also turn to it, we fall upon it when we have had our feet knocked out from under us. We pray for Teresa's nephew, he struggles with his brain bleed. We pray for the care for his doctors, for diagnosis as well as treatment. For the family of Brody's van driver, we pray that they may find peace and joy even in the darkness. For Dawn's sister, we pray as she battles her brain tumor that she may find healing and hope and healing for her soul. For Stephen, we pray as he awaits his surgery, is colon surgery battling colitis. May he not be anxious, knowing that whatever awaits him, you are there. You will be there. He will be with you. And for the Crisp family, we pray, knowing that they have lost much so recently, and now the loss of their friend Dal, we pray that he is with you, and again also with Nancy, but especially that the family who has been left behind may find peace, even as they grieve the loss of another loved one. We pray these things, Lord, knowing that you are with us in all times and places. Though we wander from you, Lord, you never wander from us. Your love is eternal, steadfast, faithful. We do not deserve it, and we give thanks. Because the nature of grace is such that we don't get what we deserve. But if we turn to you, we will get what we need. It's in your name we pray these things, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and the love that proceeds from all three, now and forevermore. Children, come forward for the junior sermon.
Talk to you about racking up stars. Oops, I'm sorry, honey. Ready? About racking up stars in heaven. You know what that means? No, that's not what that means. It's called doing something nice and not expecting anything in return. All right? Did my mom ever say to you, will you go play with your baby brother for a while so I can get a minute to do something? And you say, oh, I don't want to. And they say, well, if you do this for me, maybe I'll take you to get ice cream later. Ah. Or if they say, would you go and pick up, straighten up the living room for me? And you go, oh, I don't want to. And your mom says, well, if you do that for me, maybe I'll make macaroni and cheese tonight for dinner. I'll do something for you. Sometimes we do things, though, that we shouldn't expect something back for. Let me tell you a story. A couple weeks ago, I went to Morgantown. George and I went and spent the weekend with our daughter, with her sorority. And we were going out on the town. They took all the parents and the girls. We went out on the town to all the clubs and all the places that she spends her money and my money. And so we were out quite late, okay? We're going from place to place. Well, we end the day, and we were at the top of High Street. High Street is a big old road in Morgantown, and there's all kinds of cool places to go along the way. There's places to eat and places to dance and places to have a drink and places to buy stuff. It's all cool. So it was quite late, and it was time. George and I had enough. We were done. You know, those kids, it was midnight. And, you know, we're old, and midnight's late for us. But, you know, in Morgantown, midnight's just the start of the night. And so I said, we're leaving, and my daughter said, do you want me to walk you down to your hotel? Now, we're up here. Our hotel was down there. We stayed at Hotel Morgan. All right? And I said, no, you're going to walk us down so you can turn around and walk back? That doesn't make any sense. I said, your dad and I will be fine. So we stepped out of the club. And it started pouring down rain and snowing. So we started down the road, and I can't tell you how many teenagers and young adults we ran into. Oh, my gosh, they were everywhere. And they were dressed in all arrays of attire, from people who knew that it was snowing and raining out to people who thought it was the Bahamas. You know, they had their little skirts on, their little shirts on and everything. And here we are, you know, two parents amongst the teenagers. So we're walking down and And some of them just stared at us like, what are you guys doing here? And some of them just smiled and like, oh, it's parents kind of deal. As we got further down, the crowd thinned out a little bit. And there was two young men that began walking with us. And they looked a little different. They didn't look like they were out on the town. They looked a little misplaced. You know, they had, you know, really old hoodies on and old jeans. And here we are, all four of us walking together in the rain and the snow. And we're walking further and further away from people. And so these boys start talking to us and say, oh, why are you here? We said, well, we're with our daughter and her sorority. Oh, that's nice. Where are you from? Real nice kids. Connellsville. Oh, we're from Waynesburg. And I said, oh, my son graduated from Waynesburg. And they said, well, do you know? And they gave us a set couple names. And no, I don't know them. He said, oh, okay, well, enjoy your evening. And they walked ahead of us. We didn't think too much of it. And then they stopped. And it was dark where we were. And they turned around and looked at us, and the one kid said, I hate to ask you this, he said, but we only have enough money for bread and milk. We'd like to buy some eggs too, but we don't have enough money. Could you possibly give us a couple bucks? I looked at him, I said, sure, I think I could do that. So I gave him some ones that I had in my purse. The boy stood there and counted it, and he went, oh, this is too much. And he tried to give it back to me. I said, no, you keep it. It's poured out, you keep it. So they went on down the way. My husband looked at me and goes, Heidi, do you think you were taken? Do you think maybe they weren't going to spend it on milk and bread and eggs? Do you think maybe they were going to spend it on, I don't know, cigarettes or something to drink or something like that? Yeah, and that's right. He says, you know, people always buy cigarettes. And he's right. Sometimes, you know what? And that might have happened too. They were headed to Sheets down below at Hotel Morgan. So that's exactly what they might have done. But you know what? I thought about it. They needed help. You could tell they needed help. I gave them help. I didn't get anything in return, nor did I want anything in return. But you know what they call that? Racking up stars in heaven. When you do things that's nice for people and you expect nothing in return, it's called racking up stars in heaven. So when I get to heaven, or when any of us get to heaven, we're going to go there and God's going to be waiting for us. And he's going to say, Heidi Yotzi or Tessie Austin or whatever. And they're going to say, let me look at this list here. And it's going to say, helped a little kid out. Did this for mom. Played with a kid that nobody else wanted to play with. Oh, look at this. Prayed almost every night to me. Went to church. You know, God's going to say, that's my kind of person. Come on in. And guess what? That's what I want for you, all of you. That when we get to that point, when we get to heaven, God say to us, look, if you wreck those doors up in heaven, come on in. Exactly. Isn't that what we all want? It's what we're all striving for. And you know what? Today, you guys were so good. I'm giving you 2 stars. Because you just racked up some stars in heaven. Good job, guys. We'll see you next week.
I've got a treat for you, so I'll get to see.
Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 23 to 29. today's reading. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it's from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We have spoken of three of them at least in turn. First, of course, is love. The love that God had for the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The love that kept that Son upon the cross. The love that became flesh and said to his disciples, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." If you want to summarize the gospel or God in a word, love would be the best one to use. But what I love about this song, the classic four, it's actually more than four parts, but usually you hear four, the love carol, the love round as it's called, is that it gives us many words to summarize the gospel in one word, which means, of course, that you cannot summarize the gospel in only one word. So what other words do we have? Joy. It should come as no surprise that joy is the heart of good news. Otherwise, it would not be good. Certainly, we saw that on Easter when the friend, teacher, savior, rabbi was returned from the dead. And we know how we would feel if a lost loved one was returned to us. All of the arguments or petty disagreements or all the uncertainty that we had before be washed away in the midst of joy of seeing that person whom we love The word for Easter season is joy. And we see that on pyramids and bulletins at this time of year, all throughout Christendom. But Easter, though a large part of the gospel, and indeed the most important part of the gospel, is just one part. So another word that we have to summarize the gospel is one that is present throughout all four, from beginning to end, Christ. It means Messiah, which means God's anointed, which we come to call Savior. We love Jesus, but we worship the Christ. The teachings of Jesus are wise, compassionate, loving. They are words that we would do right to organize our lives around. But they're all the more important because they come from God Himself. Christ is not His last name. H is not His middle initial. Christ has the Word as His title. And that explains the reason that we should listen to Jesus, who is often confusing, subversive, and many believe blasphemous. In fact, it is because we believe that He is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, that we believe His words are not blasphemous. That when He refers to God as His Father, and He as His Son, to be words that only He can say. And of course, we have spoken of Christ during the Easter season, and indeed all seasons. So today, let's then turn to the last word, peace. For today we hear Jesus' words to His disciples, spoken at the Last Supper, the last moment of peace they would have together for a while. As He says to them, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." He says this in a peaceful moment, which is truly the calm before the storm. I mean, if ever there was one, this is it. The men alone in the upper room, no one to bother them, no crowds to press in, no one to come in begging for healing or for food or what have you. And in just a few hours, He will be arrested by armed soldiers. And we know what will happen after that. Also, it's helpful in the time between Easter and Pentecost to go back, to reread a number of the things that He said to His disciples, because He would say things to them to prepare them for what was to come, and they didn't understand, and then things happened, and then afterwards, perhaps they begin to understand. And the same is true for us, especially when we read the gospel. Jesus tells them about the peace that He will leave them, before they even fully understand that He is going to leave them. And He says this on the night before the least peaceful period of their lives. It's as if someone would come to your house and say, "Listen, I'm not trying to disturb your evening or anything, but I've got this fire extinguisher, and I'm just going to leave it here just in case." And then they leave. Or someone comes over and says, "Look, I've got this life preserver. I'm just going to leave it outside just in case." For Jesus leaves them with peace, but He does so not after great turmoil. It's such an important passage because peace is much sought after, yet rarely found. We could search our whole life for peace in the common thing, the cliche that is on tombstones, "Rest in peace." The idea being that that's pretty much the only time we ever truly find peace, as if it is impossible to grasp in this world. I remember as a kid, at some point, learning about the peace symbol, and for whatever reason, it really drew my attention, it really drew my excitement. I bought a lot of t-shirts with peace symbols on them, and a lot of bands I liked would use them as symbols on their album covers and posters, and I would get a lot of those. I love the idea of being for peace. After all, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers," and we call Jesus the Prince of Peace. But I soon learned that wearing a peace symbol is not the same thing as having peace or doing the things that make for peace. It's not as easy as all that. If it were, life would be easier. And let's be clear, it's not that I've had the misfortune of living through war, violence, tragedy. It's like so many people, my soul is restless, dissatisfied, and it would simply not be at peace until I went to the mall and I got that book that I saw 2 weeks ago that I have to have. And my soul just would not be at peace until I could get to the record store to buy the new album that I had to have. And my soul just could not be at peace until I got the tickets to the concert that my friends were going to, where I saw the new movie that was coming out. These were the things that made for peace, or at least I thought they did. The list of things, in fact, I believe would bring me peace, well, that would be too long to list and to read. But likely no longer than your own list. Maybe different, but we all have these things that we think if we just do or get or obtain or accomplish, peace will be ours. The things that we believe will give us peace likely cannot fulfill that promise, at least not for long, and certainly not the way the peace of Christ can. When I was growing up in the Christian church in Wheeling, we did not do what is called passing the peace, in the same way that we don't do that here. When I was in college at Bethany Memorial Church, they did. And if you've ever been to a church that does it, it's usually the same. It's usually at some point they have a thing called the passing of the peace, and the worship leader, the minister, will say, "Peace be with you." And they will say, "Also with you." And then they will turn around and shake hands with people who are next to them. And it's a simple thing, but I know so many people who are really put off by that. They don't want to have to shake people's hands, or they just want to keep to themselves. And at the same time, I kind of liked it. I thought it was really nice, and yet I can't say that it really gave me all that much peace. It wasn't long before it seemed like a ritual, just like any other, something you just do for 30 seconds. You kind of get out of the way and move on to the next thing. It promised peace, but it did not quell the turmoil of my soul, the great, terrible turmoil and storm that was raging in my soul, because the girl I liked thought I was a friend. Because I got a B on my test. Because I didn't have enough money to go out with my friends. All those things that made peace so hard for me to find. The peace of Christ, it is not a thing that we set. It is not a thing that we buy. It's not a thing that we earn. Nor is it a thing that we really learn. As if you could study enough of the scriptures and the peace of Christ will be yours. It's a thing that we receive when we trust in it, as so many things are. When nothing else can help us, then we know what the peace of Christ can be. When nothing else can satisfy, that's when we learn the meaning of his words. For Jesus did not give his disciples peace at the end of the gospel. If we define peace as in a happy ending where everybody gets to relax and kick back and celebrate their victory. The gospel is just the beginning of all that they would have to do. They did not give them peace if peace is defined as comfort and wealth and ease of living. But at the Last Supper, just before their peace would be shattered, he says to them, "I give it to you now, before these things happen, so that when it does occur, you may believe." That's the key. Peace can only be experienced in the midst of the storm. I've told you before about the girl who won the contest, the painting contest, with the theme of peace. Not because she painted a placid still lake or a beautiful pastoral scene, but instead painted a picture of a small bird singing in the midst of a terrible storm. Peace, real peace, true peace, the peace of Christ is the peace that comes to you when all else is a whirlwind. Peace of soul when the mind is being scattered in 1,000 different directions. It's not the idea that you will always be relaxed, but that you will feel peace even as you experience the storm of body and mind. And that is the peace that passes all understanding. Peace that we cannot understand until we are in that moment. And maybe we never have been yet. But if we trust that Christ brings us peace in the most difficult periods of our life, then we will know and understand. when the storm comes, the lifesaver that your neighbor left on your porch, it'll make sense. You will grab on to that with every ounce of your being. When the fire comes, the fire extinguisher that your neighbor left in your kitchen, you will jump for that immediately. You know that nothing else can help you. The disciples learned this. They learned this all so well in the days of arrest and trial. And then when he returns and they begin to understand, and then he leaves and they go out to preach the gospel, the good news, to establish the church, but things can be difficult for them. But the peace of Christ has taken hold. Because after Jesus comes back, after he is resurrected, he then ascends to God, then the second part of his promise takes place, is fulfilled. Their peace is complete because the second part that he says to them is this. Now, whenever we read from the Bible, there's a lot of different translations, and the translation we use is the New Revised Standard. That's my favorite, but I like all translations. You will never hear from me that there is a wrong translation, so whatever you enjoy, read that. But there is a translation I don't know if we mentioned before. I want to recommend to you. It's called simply The Message. It's by Eugene Peterson, and so far, it's only the New Testament, and it's very soon, he's working on a translation of the Old Testament. Very soon, that should be coming out. It's hard to describe exactly the way he does the translation, but it makes it conversational almost. And it especially comes out in the way that Jesus speaks to his disciples. So, earlier we heard Jesus speaking to his disciples from the New Revised Standard. I want to read this passage of the promise that he gives to his disciples from the Message. He reads, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, "I am telling you these things while I am still living with you. But the friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things that I have told you. I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you, peace. I don't leave you the way that you're used to being left, feeling abandoned, bereft. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught." I love the fact that he refers here in this translation as the Holy Spirit as the friend, because really it is the friend that will never leave us, the friend that is always near, the true friend in every sense. And I love also in this translation, he says, "I'm not leaving you the way you're used to being left, as if you feel you're being alone, bereft and distraught." Because he's leaving, but he's not. And he's going to the place that he's leading them to, and yet he is still with them. But how is that happening? How does that work? It's through the Spirit, which will come in about 2 weeks' time from here on Pentecost. And they will understand and know. They will not be alone because the Holy Spirit will be with them. And we can understand that if they had trouble understanding what he meant at that time, well, who can blame them? How can they really know? Heck, 2,000 years later, the Holy Spirit trips us up as well. It's difficult sometimes to explain. It's not exactly a ghost. That's not quite what we want to say. It's not exactly a something that makes you be able to read minds or be clairvoyant, but it's the Spirit of God always near. So that we feel that we are resting in God's presence. It is the Spirit of God that comes and helps us to understand when we can't understand otherwise. It is the Spirit that comes and puts peace in our heart. We have every reason in the world not to feel peaceful. It's the peace of Christ made possible through the promise of the Holy Spirit, which Christ himself gave to his disciples. In our membership class, it is so much easier for me to explain God and Jesus. Everybody gets that. But the Holy Spirit is a little tricky sometimes. But we must understand it because it's through the Spirit that our sins are forgiven in these waters. For us, we know that the Spirit is with us in all times and places, connects us to God and Christ. We know it is the Spirit that lifts our prayers and unites us as the church, makes us the body of Christ even when we are not together in one room. It is the way in which God is with us, even as Christ is with God. How to understand this? How to explain it? There is so much. When we read the Gospel of John, that it is hard to understand. And we can pore over the text and study its meaning, and you can imagine what the disciples must have been thinking. Almost half of the Gospel of John takes place at the Last Supper, with Jesus giving them one theological treatise after another. Bam, bam, bam. Their minds must have been whirling with all that he said. It's as if it were an all-night cram session before a very difficult final that Jesus is leading them through. So much of what he said was not understood when he said it, but it could not have been understood when he said it. It could only be understood when they lived it. And so when he had left and the disciples were on their own, and they were in difficult situations, the peace of Christ came to them, the Holy Spirit came to them, and they understood. So many times we feel alone. It's so easy to have faith when the sun shines, when our house is not catching on fire, when our car is not getting hit, when our bodies are healthy and our legs are not getting broken. But if our faith is true, the peace comes to us when we need it the most. Where we don't just have instructions to follow or events to celebrate. We have a spirit, a counselor, an advocate, a friend who comes to us when we need it the most. So many things go better when we have a friend to be with us, when we have a friend to help us. When I went to Puerto Rico, I never would have done so alone, but I had a friend who went with me, and we had a wonderful time together. The last time my wife flew on a plane alone will literally be the last time she flies on a plane all alone. Because she's got to have me sitting next to her that she can dig her fingernails into the palm of my hand to make sure that the flight goes well. And if we trust that we are in the palm of God's hand and that we can dig our fingernails into God's palm at any time and he's going to be able to handle it, then the peace of Christ is ours. We will experience difficulty and pain. We will experience loss and sadness, but in fleeting measures. For the peace of Christ is the feeling of peace that comes from knowing that Christ has not left nor ever will leave. And his Spirit follows us in whatever situation we find ourselves. It is beauty, security, and companionship all rolled into one. And this is peace that passes all understanding, as the Apostle Paul himself described, as the song sings. And that is the point. Not fully know it or understand it, and thanks be to God that it is so great we can never truly know and plumb the depth and the richness of its meaning. When Jesus tells his disciples that he is giving them peace, he knows what the next days and weeks and indeed the next decades and millennia are going to involve. And he isn't just talking to those disciples in that room, but disciples today. And in rooms all across the world. He knows that there will be days of heartache and struggle and oppression and darkness and fear. He offers peace to us not that we may find shelter or ease of living or a place to hide from the world. He offers us peace that we might be able to enter even more deeply into the world where the trouble exists and the darkness is and the pain and suffering is great. Encouraged to live fully and boldly as his disciples in the midst of it, keeping his command to love our neighbors as ourselves, and even our enemies as our friends. When everything around the disciples is crumbling, he has equipped them to keep their faith. He has equipped us to keep ours. What Jesus has given us is a deep peace that however the world looks, we can be confident that love is stronger than hate, hope is more resilient than fear, and despair and light can never be overcome by the darkness. Try as it might. We do not need to understand, we need simply to trust in this peace. Experience it, use it, and pass it on. St. Augustine remarked of God, "My heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee," which the Holy Spirit helps us to do. My heart does not find its rest in CDs and books and movies and clothes and all the things that I thought may happen over the years. Indeed, my heart finds only its rest, and it may only rest in peace when it rests in God's Spirit. At Jesse's church, they pass the peace a little bit differently than I did when I was at Bethany Memorial. They say, "Peace be with you." The priest says, "Peace be with you," to the congregation. And the congregation responds, "And also with your spirit." And I like saying it that way because if the peace of Christ is with you, it will be well with your spirit, because your spirit will be the Holy Spirit. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid, Jesus tells us. For if the Spirit is in your heart, it will not be troubled. That is the truest definition of peace we can ever know. May the peace of Christ be with you, and also with your spirit. Amen. Now the community gathers around the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to come forward to take the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness and partake in the elements as best suits your meditation. Let us join together as we sing our communion hymn. And if someone has a hymn, bulletin, they could tell me what number that is. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, number 16. As I said, like many people, I fell into the trap of believing that peace could be mine by obtaining a certain thing, by buying a book or buying that awesome shirt that I saw at the mall that my friends would be so jealous of. And of course, the things that I own have brought very little peace. And in fact, whenever I'm struggling with technology to get my sermon going, it's the things that I own that disrupt my peace more than anything else. There's one thing, though, that I have purchased that has brought me a great deal of peace. That is a fountain. I bought a fountain to put outside of my backyard a few years ago with this idea that I was going to be quiet and peaceful, and I was going to sit next to it while reading a book and really relax. There's two problems with that scenario. One is named Owen, and the other is named Charlotte. Because there's just not much time to sit outside by the fountain when my kids are playing and yelling and what have you. However, what I have found is that when it brings me the most peace is when I'm out cutting the grass, working in the garden, painting the deck, or doing whatever outside work I need to do, and I have the fountain running. I'm still working, but it's relaxing while I work. It gives me energy while I work, and in fact, I find myself now wanting to go outside to do yard work simply so I can hear the fountain while I work. And I think that's similar to the way the peace of Christ works with us. Christ gives us peace, not that we may retreat from the world, take a nap, and take it easy. Christ gives us peace so that when we do the work that he calls us to do, which is so hard, which is really harder than we would do on our own, we have that peace with us, similar to the sound of a fountain, similar to the waters that remind us of our baptism, that encourage us, comfort us, but more than anything, help us to step forward
and to work the work that needs to be done to bring the kingdom. And so we gather at this table to rejoice in the peace of Christ, not that we may rest upon our laurels or even rest upon his laurels, but that we may have it as we leave this place and go out into the world, which is often not a peaceful place, to know that the peace is with us as we go. Let us share in this meal this morning as we renew our stores of peace, as we recharge our hearts and faith again. Not only that we may have peace for ourselves, but also that we may share it with others and pass it on as we may. And now this morning, let us pray.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing each one of us here today. We thank you for all the peace, all the guidance, and all the wonderful things you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
For I hand unto you what was also handed on to me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. And after he blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Thank you.
Catholic community responds to the Word of God. If any gather here wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we dedicate your life to God or transfer in the fellowship with this congregation. We invite you to come forward as we sing our hymn of invitation. Let us stand as we sing. That you have received from God and the abundant peace of the Holy Spirit through Jesus, who is the Christ.